Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Let's Talk About Jesus, our weekly Bible study right here on our website. And I want to welcome you today as we gather around the Word of God in these last of the last days that we are living in. It is vitally important that we understand that we have a great and mighty God-given victory. Amen. And we should begin to celebrate that victory, not waiting to see how everything's going to turn out. You say, well, preacher, well, that's illogical. How can we celebrate a victory when we don't know how it's going to turn? Wait a minute. We don't know how it's going to turn out? Have you been in the Bible lately? What book have you been reading? Amen. Have you got in the Scripture? Have you got in the Word of God? More importantly also, have you got the Word of God in you? Praise God. I know how this is going to turn out. I know before the battle begins how it's going to turn out, because I know that God has given us the victory in, has given us, not will give us, but has given us the victory in Jesus Christ. That's why I want to teach today a little while, if I can keep from preaching, which is very doubtful when you teach on something this exciting and this important today. I want to talk to you about celebrating victory before the battle begins. Celebrating a victory before the battle begins. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, where it says, "Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ." It goes on to read, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." When we begin to serve God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, there is going to be a great, great fight that is going to occur between light and darkness. I want to encourage you today, darkness has never put out a light in any circumstance, in any situation. Listen, every time, it doesn't matter how small and seemingly insignificant the light is, the light always dispels the darkness. That's why the Scriptures declare, that, amen, that the light has shined into the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. But listen, every Christian is to put on the armor of light when we go to battle against the prince of darkness and all of his hierarchy of spiritual forces that represent the darkness of this world. The Scripture says the whole world lieth in the power of the evil one, the influence of the wicked one. And the Scripture said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. And listen, the rulers of the darkness of this world. We are against all of these spiritual forces that are arrayed against us, but we are to put on the armor of light. Hallelujah. And therefore declare a victory over the darkness, even when all of these intimidating forces are arrayed against us. Today, it's important that we begin to celebrate victory because it's God-given. If God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, we should steadfastly stand in that fact that we might see that reality in our life. We really don't go out to see if we can overcome. We don't really go out to see if we can get the victory. We go out to declare a victory, and that's how we walk in the victory that God has given us through Jesus Christ today. So we're going to talk about two scriptures today. I've read one of them, 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the other's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Again, once again, listen. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. You see, even though we are opposed by the enemy, fought, amen, tooth and toenail by the enemy, listen, friend of mine, there is victory in Jesus. It is a God-given victory to us through Jesus. Really, our victory is based on His victory, and He is absolutely Lord of all, King of kings, Lord of lords. He is victorious over death, hell, and the grave, victorious over the enemy of our soul, and He leads us. That's why it says in this world, Jesus' teaching, you shall have tribulation, anguish, and pressure, and problems, and heartache, and heartbreak, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. One translation said, I've robbed it of power to harm you. See, this, His victory is our victory today. Amen. We were buried with Him, and we were raised with Him to walk in the newness of life. And part of that newness is because we have been baptized not only in water by a minister or an elder in the church, but we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and where we become one with Him in the sense the scriptures declare literally bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Praise God. Amen. We are His members in particular. Glory to God. So His victory and our victory are wrapped up together. I used to love that camp meeting song that used to be sung. I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Hallelujah. And what that's saying in this little song of victory is that we are one with Him and He is one with us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the down payment you see on heaven is the fact that heaven's holiest have come to live in us. There's no doubt that we can live in the holy city, because the city is not holy because the streets are gold and the foundations are precious stone and the gates are pearl. Heaven is holy because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, amen, manifest themselves and live in reality in that place and upon that throne. Oh, but the God of heaven has come to live in us. The Christ of glory that's seated at the right hand of God has come to live in us. And the Holy Spirit, amen, has come to live in us and abide with us by virtue of living in us forever. Praise God. Let's talk about this. Second Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. They face the enemy through people and through circumstances everywhere that they went, and yet they overcame. Who is he that overcometh the world, 1 John says. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The world and all of the satanic systems that are built in and intertwined within it, the influence of the enemy, rulers of the darkness of this world. What an intimidating array of a hierarchy of demonic powers under Satan's influence, control, and command. And yet, the mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords has faced him on the field of battle, has conquered him once and for all. Amen. And the devil today, as active as he is, knows that he has been conquered by Christ, and he's going to be conquered, therefore, by every true child of God that receives the victory that Christ has granted us and lives with a holy boldness mindset instead of this timid, this very, Lord, what are we going to do, running around in circles. Friend of mine, this fear-driven world should not be infecting and affecting the children of the Most High God. Listen, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory, and thanks be unto God because of that, who always causes us to triumph in Christ, and to make manifest the savor of his knowledge in every place. Instead of being intimidated and losing that aggressive, militant attitude when we go out to bear witness to the truth of Christ, we should rise up a mighty, victorious army and begin to celebrate the victory, because we know there's going to be a fight. We know there's going to be a battle. That's why we put on the armor of God, because we know the devil's not going to sit back and let us tell the world about Jesus or show the world Jesus through our life and our values and the way we stand on our faith. Friend of mine, today it's time for God's army to stand up. Because God's army, because it's led by Jesus Christ, is a victorious army. And we fight in the name of Him who has overcome. And we fly His banner in battle. And we follow Him in triumph. Hallelujah. Praise God. He causes us to triumph. Or literally, one translation said, He leads us in triumphal procession. Paul had in mind, and I want to share this with you today, the Roman triumph, as it was called. The picture is the triumphal entry of a military hero into the city of Rome. In a triumph procession, the victorious generals marched in a certain order through the streets of Rome to the capital. First came the city magistrates, state officials, followed by the Roman Senate, and then the trumpeters. These were followed by soldiers who carried their spoils from the conquered land. Next pictures the models of conquered citadels and ships that were carried along in the parade. The white bull for the sacrifice followed, and then the captive rulers, their leaders, and captured generals in chains who would be executed before the day was over at the sacrifice. Following them came the musicians and the priests, swinging their censers with sweet-smelling incense burning in them. Remember the scripture in 2 Corinthians? This is what Paul is relating it to. Amen. Thanks be unto God which causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor, this incense, if you please, of his knowledge by us in every place. It was customary for the triumphal procession to be accompanied by the release of sweet odors from the burning spices in the streets, says Philip Hughes. He says, to the conquered victims, the incense was the stench of death, lingering all about them. To the victorious army, the fragrance has the sweet aroma of victory. Finally, the conquering general rode in a chariot drawn by four white horses. His family And his army followed, wearing their decorations and shouting, "Lo triumph! Lo triumph!" Christ, therefore, is the universal conqueror, marching in triumph down through the corridors of time, throughout the conquered world. He is the lead, and we, his chosen warriors, march behind him, enjoying the benefits of his conquest. I'd like a hearty amen out in that. That's what it means. Thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. That's what it means when he says, yeah, you're going to have pressure, you're going to have battles, you're going to have an enemy throw everything he can at you, but in this world, this fallen world, but be of good cheer. Celebrate victory, because I, who lead you in triumph, have overcome the world. Praise God. Those who march along in the procession of Christ are emitting everywhere about them the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of him. The Apostle Paul pictures Christ at the head of victory, and the head of the victory procession, the source of victory. And we are following him in triumphant celebration as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, Jesus has conquered the devil and leads us in the victory procession. Colossians 2:14 and 15 says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, speaking of the cross. I like one translation. It said, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed, you see, this enemy exists, but he exists in a way concerning the child of God that he has no absolute power over them. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Satan has been defeated at the cross. Make no mistake about it. What looked like a cosmic defeat, amen, turned into a cosmic spiritual victory over the enemy and all of the array of evil forces that he commands. The seed of the woman bruised the head of the serpent. Our enemy, the accuser of the brethren, is destroyed, rendered powerless. He exists, but he does not exist with all of that authority he once had over the child of God. Death is defeated and has no claim on us. Listen to Hebrews 2:14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, and through death, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Praise God. That is the reason for the victory that is declared, the God-given victory in 1 Corinthians 15:57. If you read above that, it says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. When Jesus conquered death, he conquered him that has the power of death. That is the devil who through tempting man and causing us to sin against our God and our King, brought death into this world. And through one man, Adam's sin, giving in to Satan, death reigned on all. And through one man's sinlessness, Christ, who took on flesh, became one like us and one with us while maintaining His very divinity as God incarnate, has won the victory for us. Praise God. Listen to this from the Amplified. Have you got on your shouting shoes? Do you own a pair of shouting shoes? Maybe you have to chew on this a little bit. We have too many Christians engaged in this battle with between light and darkness who are trying to see if we might overcome, and we're seeing, looks like the devil is making headway and taking ground. Listen, the true church is standing strong today because the true church is sustained by God Himself. Hallelujah. The true church will overcome today because God has given her the victory through Jesus Christ. The true Christian will overcome today when we find out and declare the victory is already ours, and we don't fight so much to win. We do fight the good fight, but it's a good fight of faith in the accomplished work of Christ at the cross in our behalf. Fight the good fight of faith. It's not just my faith believing that I can win, but my faith in the fact that Jesus has already won that victory and God has given it to us through Him. I got on my shouting shoes. Hard for me to sit still. And when I move too much, I got a chair that pops. I have no idea, as light as I am. I think it pops because I may be getting a little bit heavier sitting in it. But I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. If you hear the chair pop, you know I can't hardly sit still and talk about this, because this means that every child of God needs to stand tall for Jesus in this generation. Accept the fact that there is a great battle that is occurring, but that we have been given victory through Jesus Christ, and we need to celebrate this victory before we see the end of the battle, because we know that when all of the dust of battle settles and the smell of battle dissipates, we're going to be standing, and the devil is going to be defeated. And we start celebrating right here, right now, in this holy moment. You may have a battle going on in your life, and what God wants you to do is begin to celebrate victory. Don't wait to see if God is going to come through, if you're going to be able to stand the pressure, if grace is going to be sufficient, or you're going to give in and give up and give over. No, this is a time to begin to praise God for victory, and thanks be unto Christ who always leads us in triumph. Amen. Victory. Victory is overcoming an enemy. Triumph is celebrating a victory that is already won. Hallelujah. A noteworthy, spectacular success is called a victory. Exultation or rejoicing over a victory or success, a celebration. Listen, in ancient Rome was a triumph. It was a victory that was already won, and they begin to triumph, which means literally to celebrate a victory that is already won. Praise the Lord. Listen, Hebrews chapter 2, therefore, in the Amplified, therefore, these His children share in flesh and blood in the physical nature of human beings. He Himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through death He might bring to naught and make of no effect Him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and also that He might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their life. In bondage to what? In bondage to the haunting fear of death. I don't want to die today. I want to finish my course. I don't want to die today if it's not my time to go home. I want to take care of my family that needs me. Amen. And I thank God for the health and strength. I want to preach until God's done with me. I do not want the devil to take me out before my time, and he's not going to in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, but I am ready to go home today because I know death is a doorway for the child of God into that eternal state that we will live forever, an eternal place where we will live with him forever. They may put this old body down in the ground. They may burn it up. I don't know what they're going to do with me. Amen. But listen, the me that lives in this body, the eternal born again, hallelujah, spirit that lives within this body is going to live forever with God because our victory is his victory. He leads and we follow. He conquers for us and we take courage and stand in that victory. Jesus has conquered death. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's read it together, 54 through 58. It says, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your sting? O grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God. There's the context for it, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a correlation really between spiritual death and physical death. The first and the fact that physical death is defeated proves that sin's power and Satan's power over us is broken. When Christ comes, we'll rise to meet him. If we don't go up in the rapture, after those who have died in Christ go up, if we are part of those who go the way of the grave first, amen, hallelujah, we will rise to meet him, and those who are living, we who are alive and remain until his coming, when they rise, we're going to be caught up with them when the trumpet of God sounds. Amen. The grave will not hold us back. Hallelujah. And the world and all of the forces arrayed against us will not be able to hold us down. Praise God. Listen to this. You've heard this before, but I just got to read it again. In light of what we have read today, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Every child of God is asleep in the sense that they're going to wake up on that great getting up morning. They used to sing, fare thee well, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus God will bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. This is not speculation. This is not hope so. This is no so. This is by the eternal, inerrant word of the living God. The word that will stand when heaven and earth pass away. Hallelujah. But his word will stand. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I call this the secret coming of Christ, for this is not the second coming of Christ. No, the second coming, every eye sees him when he comes. The second coming, he stands upon the mountain. Amen. Listen, this coming, we meet him in the air, and we're ever with him from that point forward. Hallelujah. And we're seen with him in heaven in the book of Revelation. And we're seen with him coming back with him to rule and to reign at the second coming. Wherefore, verse 18, comfort one another with these words. These words are declaring that because Jesus conquered death and he died and rose again, that he's going to bring us with him in that victory that he accomplished in our behalf. Praise God. If we believe that he died and rose again, even though them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hallelujah. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. We need to sing more and sigh less. Our God has conquered our enemy, but it is in our behalf. Praise God. Listen, Psalm 47 says this, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph." Hallelujah. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He's a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet, and that's exactly how Christ is coming back for us. Amen. Sing praises unto God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Let's celebrate our victory in Jesus. For our God is King over all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. You're not just mouthing words, you're declaring by faith victory that has been given us by God. Hallelujah. Verse 8 says, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. If we follow Christ in triumph, we should praise God for victory before the fight begins, because he cannot be defeated. We cannot lose. Amen. Psalm 106, 47 and 48. Save us, O Lord God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, because of Christ's victory, heaven will be our home. And when Jesus returns in triumph, we will return with him. Hallelujah. Revelation 19, verse 6, 7, and 8. And I heard it, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, the wife has made herself ready, And to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now let's read verse 11 through 14. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. Many and most scholars believe that is the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, the conquering army of God. Hallelujah. Because angels don't need to ride white horses, symbols of victory. These angels that stand with God, that did not sin against Him, that are working in heaven in our behalf and in God's purposes. Listen, they do not ride white horses. Who rides white horses? Jesus, conquering King. A white horse is the symbol of a victory. One, a victorious conqueror. Hallelujah. And thanks be unto God. We follow Christ. He leads us in triumph. We bow to no other. We follow the leader. Every victory that is achieved is a God-given victory. The more of His lordship, the more of His leadership. The more of His leadership, the more of His victory and triumph. If you're a true follower of Jesus, you overcome by celebrating a victory that is already won when you put on God's armor. Amen. Having done all, which literally in context connotates having overcome all. Stand. Hallelujah. Stand. Stand in that victory. Stand in that triumphant victory that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Today, Christian, it's time to stand in the victory that is ours. It's time to take and hold ground for Christ until He comes. That's what it means when Jesus said, "Occupy until I come." Take ground and hold that ground. Hallelujah. And stand our ground. Having overcome all, stand in the victory that is ours in Jesus. I declare victory today. I want to get rid of the victim mentality and declare victory today in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has went before us and leads us in triumph. Hallelujah. And allows us to share that victory when He returns to rule and reign. If we suffer with Him now, we're going to reign with Him then. And we suffer the persecution. We suffer the insults. We suffer all of the forces of the enemy, the persecutions that come against us. And yet, we're persecuted for righteousness' sake. We rejoice because we know we will ultimately win this battle, and we will rule and reign with Him. And great is our reward in heaven. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you're without God, without hope in the world. People turn to all kinds of sins, all kinds of lying solutions from the devil. God is calling you to turn to Him today, to come to Him, to get victory over the one who holds you in bondage through the fear of death. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. and stand in the victory that God will give you. It will take you all the way to heaven. In Jesus' name.